I'm going to share a brief message, and our president declared today to be a national day of prayer. It might have just been like Friday, you know, in light of all this national emergency and such. And I appreciate the fact that he did that. Previous president wouldn't even acknowledge the national day of prayer, wouldn't even acknowledge it, be any part or anything to do with it. So praise God, you know, our president does recognize God to whatever degree, and the fact that the people of God can pray and bring forth change. So I'm going to share a short message, and then we're going to pray. I mean, you don't have a national day of prayer and not pray. And if we actually have faith and believe that our prayer can be effective and effectual, well, then you should pray. In fact, when people don't pray, it's generally a sign of unbelief, if they even know the word of God to do so, to pray. But many times people still don't, because they don't really believe it would do any good. If you don't believe anything's going to be effective, you won't keep doing it. Or that would be kind of crazy. Well, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to read from this, share a little bit, and then we'll go into some prayer, in and out with some praise and worship. You know, the spirit of fear has been released, and if you go out into public, you can see it. Don't let it get on you. It doesn't need to be on you. You know, the devil's free to roam this earth, and there's times certain things are released. I had shared with you before about the fact that spirit of fear would be released in waves. This was a few years back. And one of the things, one of the three things was unknown diseases. And you have that spirit of fear also relative to terrorism and economic collapse, shortcoming, and so forth. The fear of not having anything, fear of not having any money. Well, if your trust is in God, you don't have to fear not having money because he's your provider. Now, that being said, you need to work, you need to do things like relative to handling money. But when we trust in it, what you put your trust in, that's what you would be afraid of losing. If our trust is in God, the thing that we would fear is somehow I may depart from him, depart from faith, enter into sin, and his hand lift off of me. Well, that's something to be afraid of. Because apart from the hand of God being on us, then we're subject to all that's out there. And whether there's a current wave of a certain disease or not, it's always been out there since the fall of man. Some people are germophobes, or they have the fear of germs perpetually. Well, God designed your body to heal itself. He designed it with an immune system that will fight off all of that realm, the bacterial, viral, and the rest. And what is kind of a marvel, you hear all the experts saying, well, don't get around people, wash your hands. But they say nothing about how God designed the body to deal with things like that, and that's build your immune system. I'm not going to say much more about that, but I'm just stating that as a fact. God designed the body to heal itself, and when it identifies an invader in the viral germ bacterial world, it identifies an invader and sends like billions, whatever, as white T cells to go and fight it off. And if you have a weak immune system, well, then you're vulnerable. So those who have died, for the most part, have had weak immune systems, maybe relative to something else that's going on in their body. So just on the natural side, you know, you can wash your hands, but if you breathe in the same stuff that might have been on somebody else's hands they cough into, well, you still get it. But the solution in God, in terms of the natural, is a strong immune system, and that's something you can do something about. Now, I'm not going to go off on that. But the other thing, the more important thing, is faith in our heart concerning the promises of God that speak to such things. So whether it's there's no money, or whether it's a disease, or whether it's people threatening to kill you, whatever it might be, what does God say about it? And this is a way we need to learn to walk in life, is what does God say about something? And lay hold of that and hold fast to that. And that's where our trust is. Well, there was a situation, 2 Chronicles 20, that arose. And there was a king called King Jehoshaphat. And there was armies of Moab, Ammon, and there were some others, Mount Seir. They gathered together to destroy Judah. Jehoshaphat was king. People came and told him, hey, there's armies gathering to kill us. And verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat feared. Now, it's not wrong to have fear. What would be wrong is to allow it, to not endeavor to stand against it. That's what would be wrong. But fear can come. And fear is basically relative to a threat or something posing a danger. Now, in their case, they had armies threatening, we'll kill y'all. There's a threat. Fear began to come on Jehoshaphat, but says he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself. He knew how to react to that. He set himself to seek God because he knew that God is greater. God is almighty. He knew the power of God. So he simply needs to hear from God what to do about this. He sets himself to seek the Lord. Now, those who don't seek the Lord but trust in the arm of the flesh will set themselves to stay glued to the television for what the government's going to tell you to do. We need to be glued to the Word of God and listening for the Spirit of God to tell us what to do. And there are those who may well be born again and profess the name of the Lord, but do not really look to the Lord, and they're not hearing the Word of faith. They're not hearing the Word that would bring faith to stand, and having done all to stand, stand and stand some more, stand until the victory. Those that don't hear that might be coasting along in their own ability for a time. But when the storm comes, when the test comes, when the trial comes, they're going to cower in fear and bow and surrender everything to this world, to what man would say. It says in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man whose trust is in the arm of the flesh. That's a curse upon us. But blessed is the man that trusts the Lord. So you can go along your way for a while, trusting in money, trusting in government. And that was the whole thing with the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel issue was that man determined he doesn't need God. He's going to exalt himself, build a tower that will reach to heaven. We're above God. We don't need God. That's the whole essence of the New Age movement, the whole essence of atheism, the whole essence of communism, socialism, and all the rest of it. Is that we are going to operate apart from God. We don't want to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't want to live by His Word. So we will somehow exalt and raise up ourselves that we can walk not needing Him. And people can trust in the advancements, technological advancements, praise God for it. Medical advancements, praise God for it. It's fine. But if you trust in it, then when word comes along, we don't have an answer for this. Or Mr. So-and-so, we can't help you. Fear and terror grips the heart of that person. But when we trust the Lord, it doesn't matter what we hear and what we see and what's happening around us. We're going to stand because God is our source and our faith is in Him. Well, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. To seek after Him. Because he had heard trouble's brewing. There's armies going to kill us. There are times in your life your faith's going to be tested. We have to understand denial is not faith. It's not faith to say, I don't believe there's a problem. Faith says, I see the problem, but I declare God is greater and He is the answer. And it's by His power I'm going to be victorious. And that's according to His promises in His Word. I remember a brother years ago, he had financial issues. He had called me to his house to to talk, and he was sort of wanting some counsel. And he proceeds to tell me, well, I don't believe, you know, in this debt I have. And he'd get bills in the mail, and he opens a drawer up and shows me, and he would just throw the bills in the drawer. Well, he still owes the money. To deny the fact that you owe someone does not change the fact you owe them. It's just putting off the day where they're going to come take your whatever. He didn't own a home. So take your car, take your sofa, whatever they can sell off to get money. Faith is not denial. There are those who say, I don't believe in that. That's not faith. Faith is to acknowledge the problem, to look it square in the face and say, I declare what God says. This is what the word of the Lord says relative to this. And upon that word, I'm going to stand. So as I said, you know, tests are going to come. Things that could bring fear are going to come. And sometimes people just try to block it out of their mind and hope it'll go away. Some things just won't go away. When I was in Sri Lanka a few weeks ago, I asked Pradeep, what's transpired here since last Easter when there was, however many it was, whether 10 or 20, whatever, Islamic terrorist attacks at hotels and churches. And one, I mean, he sent pictures, I showed him. His father used to take him when he was a boy because he preached there at this one church. And 50 kids were blown up by this Islamic demon-possessed wacko. I don't believe in poo-pooing and pampering devils. Our previous president said, don't call them Islamic terrorists. Well, what other kind of terrorists are there in terms of what those people are? What else would you call them? Good old boys club? No, they're demon possessed. You have to understand, demons take over people, and that's why they do the crazy stuff. And he said, well, the way people here are, after a month or so, they sort of forget about it, block it out. I said, really? Well, it's 90% Buddhist. They don't know the spirit of God. They're not in covenant with God. So they don't have the power to deal with that, even though through whatever their thing is they're doing, yoga or whatever else, whatever it is they're doing, they're blocking. See, a lot of it, the Buddhism is blocking out the realities you can't deal with. And the ultimate in that is where you sort of get taken over by demons and leave your body all kinds of weird demonic stuff. We'll block it out. We'll pretend it's not there. We'll chant and do little things until in our mind we're convinced it's not there, but it's still there. That threat's still there. There are still people in poverty and starving and so forth. You still have all of that. So faith's not to pretend it's not there. Faith is to declare what God would say. Something come back to my mind. 1979, was it March? 79. We had the Three Mile Island incident. And we started to have a meltdown of that nuclear reactor just 10 miles as a bird flies up the river, starting to melt down. And there was much fear that came. We were sort of young in the things of the word of faith and so forth. But even being young in the Lord, you can know enough and have come to a place, I'm going to trust God. Will you make that commitment in your heart? Lord, I'm going to be moved by you and by nothing else. I will operate out of the conviction of the Holy Ghost, which isn't just conviction of sin, but the conviction of faith. And the government put out, you should leave the area. What's the word? Evacuate. And if any of you were alive through that and you did that, it's not a condemnation, but I want to use this as an example. There was such a spirit of fear, and many evacuated the area because the immediate destiny was central Pennsylvania was going to be a nuclear wasteland, worse than Chernobyl, Ukraine. So many left. We didn't. Because I was hearing the word of God. Plain and simple. It's not that I was any big thing or anything. Wasn't even in the ministry yet. But I was hearing the word of God and pursuing to be strong in faith prior to that. So we stayed. And there were many who stayed. But you could drive down through York or through the shopping areas. It was ghost town. There's nobody there. There was nothing open. This was March 1979. And the Spirit of God did a miracle. My wife worked with a woman whose brother worked in the plant. And he told his sister, who my wife worked with, he told her, she wouldn't even believe her, told her, we were 30 minutes from a complete nuclear meltdown. And there was nothing we could do. And that nuclear bubble disappeared. And he, as an unbeliever, said it was only God, a miracle of God. Because in the natural, there's nothing they could do. The government didn't tell that because it would have created panic, which would have created utter chaos. There was enough fear, just the prospect of it. So that never really came out publicly. To this day, I don't think it's ever been said publicly. But like I say, we knew somebody who worked in there and declared it was a miracle of God. Now, if everyone just yields to a spirit of fear, well, then there is a meltdown, whether it's literal or physical. And this is happening today. And our president, praise God, called for a national day of prayer. And I don't know how many, but I know a lot of churches canceled church. Just in case you're ever wondering, I'm not going to do that, because to do that would be to disobey God and submit to man. The governor can say, well, no churches can be open. Well, I'll come. And whoever else wants to come, if they want to haul me away and haul me away, we'll go to court. Because our Constitution still does give that protection. You know what's so bizarre with all this? To my knowledge, there's not even any confirmed cases of this virus in York County or Lancaster County. The only really people that have died are people with poor immune systems or already suffering from some other disease, with maybe a few minor exceptions. Fear is Satan's way to manipulate people to do what he would want them to do. That's why communism, one of the two tenets of communism, is fear, the other's envy. That's the underpinning of the whole communist system. Because to put people in fear, they'll just salute and obey and do whatever, because they're afraid and their trust is in that government to save them. That should scare somebody, that they would trust in the government to save them. Now, please don't misunderstand. A good government should do things to help the people, but that should not be where our trust is. Our trust should be in God. If he uses them, praise God. If they are unwilling to be used to do right, we are still believing God for his deliverance and his salvation. So what's needed in the face of a wave of a spirit of fear is a people who will proclaim the word of God and stand in faith. That's what's needed. Those who do not preach the word of faith, their day will come. When some calamity comes and now they have no faith, they've been playing, oh, I go to church, I'm nice, I'm good, I punch my time clock for God, and just be happy. No, our first obligation is to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all our mind, all of our strength, to worship him, to give him the glory and honor due his name. And then in honoring him, we open our heart to his word, whereby we learn of the covenant we have. And faith can be established in our heart that we will stand, and not only stand, we will obey the Lord and do that which he would tell us to do. If you study out spiritual authority, we are always to obey the authority of God first and foremost. There is delegated authority you should obey, but if the authority of man tries to override the authority of God, that's when you have to disobey man. There's a book written by Watchman Nee, best on a subject that I'm aware of, called Spiritual Authority. He goes through the whole Bible with scriptures on that matter, and that can be a life changer in itself. So here Judah gathers together to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stands up and prays. Verse 6, we see three parts to this. O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou in heaven, and rule not over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none are able to withstand thee? He is acknowledging, God, you are the almighty God. You know, there's a verse, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Spirit of God in us is greater than everything of this world. It's greater than any demon, greater than any virus. So he begins by stating his faith in the Father God. There's no power or might that can withstand you. Art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? So he acknowledges God as the deliverer, the redeemer. Lord, you brought us out of bondage. You brought us into this promised land. You're the one who's delivered us. And then verse 8, and they dwelt therein and built a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, they built that temple where the name of God was to be glorified and honored and recognized. You know where the place for the name of the Lord is today? It's in God's people, the church. That's where he put his name today. The fulfillment of the old covenant temple is the church of Jesus Christ, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He said, they built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if when evil comes upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in this house. We gather together as believers in the name of Jesus Christ and cry unto thee in our affliction, then you will hear and help. And that was back when Solomon prayed, that was stated when they dedicated the temple. So the third thing he says here, that when we gather together in your name, we're going to cry out to you and you will hear our prayer. If it means causing a nuclear bubble to dissolve, so be it. If it means a virus, it won't touch your house. It won't touch you. So it comes down to, well, what do I really believe? And we want to learn to live our life by faith, declaring what we believe as it pertains to our life and people around us. So then he says, now behold the children of Ammon. He goes on then to state the problem. These armies are gathered against us. And we go down to verse 12, he asked God to judge them. And then he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This part's important. There are times in life you don't know what to do. It could be relative to an unseen force like a virus. It could be relative to your business you worked at folds. What am I going to do? It could be relative to a situation in your family. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. When you need to do something and you don't know what to do, we need to look to the Lord till we find out what to do. Don't do anything till he shows you what to do. That's where manipulation comes in, especially if fear is involved, to get you to do something. And now it's the wrong thing and it makes things worse. You know, that swine flu virus like 10 years ago, this big commotion wasn't made then. It's fact. So I asked myself, why? Is it that much worse? Why? Well, for one, there's the fear of the unknown. I get that. But why? Then I heard two candidates that are running for president. And I can't even stand to listen to these people. I mean, I can listen for a little while, and then, lest I get into sin, I got to turn it off. But I only needed to hear them for a couple minutes. And you know what they're saying? We need nationalized health care. That's how we'll stop this. See, it's the Antichrist spirit. There was a certain leader in the party of the previous president who said, never let a crisis go to waste. Quote, exact quote. And evil people will use things like that to bring fear, to manipulate the people to more of their agenda. So I'm not saying that's what it is. But the equation's there to add it up. Anyway, that's not the point today. There's times we don't know what to do. You seek the Lord till you know what to do. Don't do anything till you know you've heard from him. So Judah stands before the Lord. The whole people, the whole nation came together. And are waiting, and a prophet begins to speak out. And at verse 15 says, "Hearken, all ye Judah." Now God spoke to them through the prophets. The Holy Spirit wasn't in anyone yet. That wasn't until the new covenant. Sin had to be taken out first. And he says here, "Thus saith the Lord to you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this virus, this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's." Then he says, go down tomorrow, and he tells them where the armies are going to be. Word knowledge here. And he says, you don't even have to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, the Lord will be with you. Well, they acted on that word, and God caused these enemy armies all to kill each other. So they didn't even have to fight. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Do not be dismayed or overwhelmed in your mind. If we don't learn to take thoughts captive, they build up and can overwhelm us. Sort of like floodwaters, you know, just build up and then like a dam breaks and it just sweeps. When it comes to fear, you can't let that lay. We need to wash that away rather than let it sweep us away. So he gives them that directive. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They recognize they're in a crisis. They are about to be destroyed. They set themselves to seek the Lord. They fasted, they prayed, they gathered together, they're crying out to God, and the answer comes. So they are worshiping and thanking the Lord, declaring, Lord, our trust is in you. You're going to save us. So you know the story, it goes on, and they get sent forth praisers to go out to praise and declare the Lord's good and his mercy endures forever, and a victory was won. He says here, one other thing I'll mention, verse 20, believe in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Established pertaining to what? The flood of fear. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Now, not only were they delivered from this enemy, but God desires to take what Satan means for evil and turn it for our good. So they go in, and the enemy had destroyed each other. They killed each other, and all their goods are there. So they go in and haul out. There was a wealth transfer. They hauled out the wealth of these enemies who were going to overtake them and bring it back. Then they really were praising God. And the mindset we need to have is not just, oh, Lord, keep me out of this. Oh, Lord, I don't want any trouble. But that which Satan's meaning for evil. See, we're not just looking to get out of something, but rather we're going to turn this on him. Well, how do we turn this disease thing on Satan? That people realize, this, we're going to pray in a few minutes here, that people come to see that where they're putting their trust, they're not confident in that. and that they themselves are being overcome by fear, and there is a way out, and that way out's Jesus Christ. Because in times like that, in times like this, is when the gospel can really flourish, because people know they have nothing else. When communism went down in 1991, depending on the nation, 1990-91, the gospel flooded into Eastern Europe and into Russia. And there were a lot of people, not everyone, but many got saved because they had no hope. Then you had, when we defeated Japan, World War II, and General MacArthur said, send me 10,000 missionaries and we can take Japan for Jesus Christ. Church wasn't ready, didn't have 10,000 missionaries. So it continued on in the whole Buddhist stuff. But here was our top general. He was a man of God. No doubt had faults and flaws. Everyone does. But he was a man of God. He said, their God has fallen. Send 10,000 missionaries. We can take Japan for Christ. That's turning what Satan meant for evil for good. When the communism went down and many went into places like Russia, Romania, Ukraine, down the line, Poland, many came out of the darkness because they knew they had a freedom to choose. And the gospel came flooding in. Could have came in a lot more, but it came in. And many turned to him. What Satan used for evil, 70 years of communist oppression, turned around for good. Because people knew what it was to be oppressed. If you listen today to people talk about this whole drive to socialism, you listen to somebody who's old enough to have lived during the communist times in Eastern Europe, they all say, you people are nuts. I love the United States. I'm free here. And you people wanting a socialism are completely insane and nuts. Or stupid, one of the two. I've heard over and over and over again, because they know that bondage. You see, once you've been set free from something, there's no going back. In your mind, there's no going back. And even when the Russians were coming into Ukraine, someone I know who had access to inner circles, the highest people in their government, they said, we will not go back under Soviet rule. We will die first. We'll blow up our nuclear power plants. We'll make the whole nation a wasteland before we live under that again. So that's a certain resolve you get when you've been oppressed and beat down to say, there's no going back. There's no going back. Egypt or Israel didn't quite have that resolve. They said, well, we'll go back. Now, there has to be a hatred for sin, for satanic things, for the bondage, where we say, we're not going back. We will not bow the knee. We will emerge victorious or die. Well, praise God, we have the provision of deliverance and freedom. We don't have to be afraid. There's no reason to let the spirit of fear get on us or to allow it to make you think. You just have to walk along with it. Well, as Jehoshaphat called for prayer, our president called for prayer. And the issue is not how much of a pope he is or a pastor, because he's not either. But he's doing the right thing. He does know enough to know the people of God can make the difference calling out to God through Jesus Christ. So we want to do that in the remainder of this time. I want to pray. I want you to lift your voice with me. I mean, if you are unwilling or can't pray in a time of crisis, you have some serious spiritual issues, shortcomings is a better way of saying it. We should be happy to do this. I'm not implying that you wouldn't be. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just saying our heart should be, yes, I believe the word of God. I know who my God is. I will declare it and be a part of the solution, making the difference. And that which Satan's meaning for evil, we're going to turn it on him and believe God for people being saved. I shared, it doesn't come to my mind yet, the brother I met in Sri Lanka who was persecuted, beaten many times, His house burned down. He's thrown in the street, beaten. And he had that mindset. I can still see his face. I mean, he had joy because where his faith was, is his beating's going to turn into people getting saved. He'd gone through it many times. And through his unwavering commitment to the Lord, he had complete faith. These Buddhists can't escape that testimony. Holy Ghost is going to work on them. He loves their God because they know they wouldn't do that for theirs. So we want that kind of resolve, determination, and prayer. I don't want to allow myself to think, well, there's not enough people out there. It doesn't matter. I'll do my part. We do our part. We lift our voice. We declare the word of God.